We now commence with the Consumer Protection Act 1986. Now, this is an act, my friends, which talks about the consumer who till lately was a person who was completely neglected by the trader and the seller, who laid down the principle of caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. We had many acts such as the MRTP, the Essential Commodities Act, the Standards and Weights Measures Act, so on and so forth. But unfortunately, the consumer, although to some extent restrictive trade practices were sought to be controlled, the consumer was not protected adequately. And therefore, way back, United Nations in 1985 wanted to introduce a bill as regards consumer protection, on the basis of which we initiated the Consumer Protection Act 1986. Consumer and consumer disputes. Introduction. Till lately, the consumer, particularly in India, was a neglected lot. The doctrine of caveat emptor, we have seen this in Sale of Goods Act, let the buyer beware, prevailed. Thus, the Consumer Protection Act 1986 was enacted, which came into effect from 15th April 1987. The Consumer Protection Regulations of 2005 came into effect from 31st May 2005. What are the objects and reasons of the Consumer Protection Act? They are seven. The right to be protected against the marketing of goods which are hazardous, that means which are dangerous to life and property. The right to be informed about the quality, the quantity, potency. Potency, we mean the strength of an item. Purity, standard, and price of goods to protect the consumer against unfair trade practices. Any kind of deceptive practice as regards the sale, use, or supply of goods is an area which is sought to be protected under the Consumer Protection Act. The right to be assured wherever possible, access to a variety of goods at competitive prices. The right to be heard and to be assured that consumers' interest will receive due consideration at appropriate forums. The right to seek redressal. Redressal means remedy against any unfair trade practice or unscrupulous exploitation of consumers. The right to consumer education, so that the consumer is educated that in the event of any kind of a defect or any kind of a deficiency in the service sector, he is able to lodge a complaint before the consumer forums. And finally, the right to alternative, efficacious, speedy, and inexpensive remedy. Having understood this as the preamble of this act, we have a three-tier quasi-judicial machinery wherein any kind of redressal can now be entertained by the district forum, the state commission, and the national commission. To understand the scope of the Consumer Protection Act, we have to note that it is not punitive. It means it doesn't levy a penalty, but just gives adequate preventive measures so as to see that there is no exploitation by unscrupulous traders. It compensates the customer whereby any kind of loss or damage which occurs to the consumer is sought to be compensated monetarily by the trader at suitable levels. Under Section 3, the remedy available in the Consumer Protection Act is in addition to and not in derogation of the provisions of any other law for the time being in force. So whatever provisions are there in the Consumer Protection Act is in addition to the other remedies available under various areas of civil law. Wherever an alternative remedy has already been availed, a complaint before the Consumer Protection Act is not maintainable. Thus, if a civil suit is already filed or any suits have been filed under any other statute, normally a suit under Consumer Protection Act will not be maintainable. We'll now come down to the first definition, which is very vital for our discussion. Who is a consumer? A consumer under Section 21D of the Consumer Protection Act is a person who buys goods for consideration or hires or avails of any services for a consideration, paid, promised, or partly paid or promised, uses the goods with the approval of the person who has bought the goods for consideration, is a beneficiary of services with the approval of the person who has hired the services for consideration. Well, friends, what exactly does this concept of consumer mean? It says it is a person who has purchased goods for money. That is called consideration. That means it's a price that you pay for the value of the goods. For the first time, it includes an user of the goods. Now, for example, we stay in joint families. We stay as partners in a partnership firm or members of a cooperative society. Now, any kind of an issue with regard to goods or services, and such an individual is a user with the permission of the original consumer who has purchased these goods or availed these services for money, will be eligible to call himself a consumer. Again, he could be a beneficiary who has availed of services. Supposing there is a gas connection, there is a telephone line, and there is a person who has used the subscriber's telephone and he meets with any deficiency in services, he is entitled to call himself as a consumer. However, the consideration or the money shall be paid partly, fully, or under a deferred system. If there is no payment of price, he cannot be called as a consumer. So, any purchase without consideration, any purchase for the purposes of resale or commercial purposes, he cannot be called as a consumer. Who is a person? Under Section 21M, we introduce the word consumer as a person. Now, who is this person? A person could be a firm, whether registered or not. It could be a Hindu undivided family, a cooperative society, every other association or person, whether registered under the Societies Registration Act 1860 or not. Who is not a consumer? He obtains the goods for resale or for any commercial purpose, or buys goods without consideration, hires or avails of any services without consideration, uses the goods without the approval of the person who has hired the services for consideration. Let me give you two illustrations on what exactly resale and commercial purpose is all about. Synco Textiles versus Crompton Greaves. Here is a case where a company purchases a machine for the purposes of generating power to make oil cakes. The company comes out with a defect in the machine. Can the company lodge a complaint? No. Under Consumer Protection Act, this is a commercial purpose. So anything which has a profit objective and which is essentially business or mercantile in nature is a commercial purpose, where such a sector doesn't come under the purview of the Consumer Protection Act. So, if the ultimate purpose is not for self-consumption and it is circulated in the market for the purposes of resale, just as a manufacturer is selling the goods to the wholesaler to the retailer to the ultimate consumer. Here, we obviously find that the wholesaler is a person in the capacity of a middleman who is not called as a consumer for the purposes of this act. However, any purchase for the purposes of self-employment, a person purchases a Xerox machine, a person purchases a PC, and he is trying to earn his livelihood by this means. Now, this will not come under the purview of commercial purpose and therefore calls himself as a consumer under the Consumer Protection Act. Who is not a consumer? Any beneficiary of services without the consent of the person who has hired the services for consideration. He obtains service under a contract of personal service. He avails of services for any commercial purpose. So therefore, we have seen, friends, who is not a consumer? To put it in brief, a person who purchases an article for resale or commercial purpose. A person who purchases goods without consideration. A person who hires services without consideration, any user of goods without approval, any person who is a beneficiary of services without the approval of the original person who has availed these services for consideration. Any contract of personal service also doesn't come under the purview of Consumer Protection Act. What is goods? Well, we have already seen the definition as given under the Sale of Goods Act. To just give you a recapitulation of what we have already studied under Section 2, Subsection 7 of the Sale of Goods Act 1930, it means all movable items other than actionable claims and money. It includes shares. It includes stock. It includes all things attached to the land which can be severed or separated before or under a contract of sale. So what are the three things that doesn't come under goods? Immovable property, which is under the jurisdiction of the Transfer of Property Act. It does not include actionable claims or any kind of book debts or debts through a negotiable instrument, which can be claimed only with money. And finally, any money that is legal tender or currency in circulation doesn't come under the purview of goods. What is service? Now, to put this in brief, service means service of any kind available to a potential user. It includes banking, financing, insurance, transport, processing, housing, boarding and lodging, any kind of construction activity, power or electricity, any kind of purveying or supplying news or information through advertising channels, any kind of communication. But such a service will not include any contract of personal service or services rendered without consideration. Now we'll come into two important aspects. Contract of personal service. Contract of service, which is personal, is a relationship between a master and servant, and a contract for services, where a person engages the services of another person and where he can only order what is to be done, is a contract for service. Just to give you a small example, which is a little of a deviation, when I have a contractor. A contractor is a person who is hiring the laborer or the worker for the employer. Now, when there is a worker who is working for the contractor undertakes a contract for services. So, wherein here is a contractual area whereby we call it one as contract for services. Now, coming onto the CPA Act, when a person takes the services in a bank, in an insurance company, or in a transport sector, the agency renders the service and I'm required to pay for these services. This is called contract for service. Whereas contract of service. Now, what do you mean by this? It is an employer-employee relationship. The employer directs what has to be done the employee or the servant in connection with master and servant is required to do whatever the master or the employer directs. And this is called contract of personal service, which is outside the purview of Consumer Protection Act. We talk only contract for services, whereby services are given by various sectors for which a consumer pays consideration or monetary value. So therefore, who are instances of person who are held as consumers? Bank, consumers of electricity, a passenger traveling by train, a patient receiving medical treatment, provided it's not in a government hospital which is free of charge, a depositor of money, a beneficiary of services like the nominee of the insured, persons allotted plots, houses by the state housing boards are all consumers under Consumer Protection Act. Some instances of persons who are held not to be consumers. What are held to be services? We have already seen all the areas of services wherein if it's a bank, financial institution, if it is an insurance area, if it is electricity boards, if it is housing sectors, boarding and lodging are all services. What are held not to be services? Faulty medical treatment in a government hospital. Services rendered by the municipal corporation. Well, friends, you'll be surprised here to note that services by the municipality is not service. Why so? The payment of direct or indirect taxes, such as a sewage tax or water tax, is a tax collected by the municipality which goes into the coffers of the government. So the municipality says he doesn't render any service which is for consideration, and therefore the municipal corporation, and that is the reason, consumer, you may make n number of complaints against the municipality, you cannot be entertained because municipal corporation doesn't come under the purview of service for the purposes of Consumer Protection Act. Private tutor. A teacher who is teaching a student and the student fails. Sorry student, you cannot file a suit against your private tutor. An advocate, whereby he is on the same level as a doctor. But a medical treatment which is faulty and negligent, a consumer can lodge a complaint. A client cannot lodge a complaint against an advocate. Services rendered by the municipal corporation doesn't come within the purview of Consumer Protection Act. A private tutor, an advocate, services rendered gratuitously. Now, what does the word gratuitous mean? It means without money. So, any services which are rendered without consideration will never come under CPA. Non-allotment of shares in a company. Well, friends, if the company doesn't allot you shares, you get your money refunded by the company because it is at the discretion of the board of directors whether to allot you shares or no, depending on the oversubscription or undersubscription as the case may be, which is at the discretion of the company. But the money comes back to you. So there is no question of any service where there is a non-allotment. Services rendered by the employee to the employer, again, is a contract of personal service. Statutory boards conducting academic examination. Now, we have many kind of boards or authorities conducting university examinations or normally any HSC board. Now, this is only a body which conducts examinations, but it doesn't render any kind of service. So therefore, even if there is a delay in the results that are to be announced, a student cannot lodge a complaint as regards any of these statutory boards. Any dispute about telephone bills and supply of electricity by the electricity board is today taken care of by the telephone body, so that this is a separate jurisdiction which essentially will now be taken care of by their separate authorities. A complaint, now we come down to consumer dispute. A complaint before the consumer redressal forum against a person who denies or disputes the allegations contained in the complaint, a consumer dispute arises. Now what does this mean, my friends? I have a consumer X. he has a problem with regard to his goods. Let me say a car with a particular dealer, and the dealer is a person dealing in that specific area of cars, whether it's a Maruti or a Hyundai. If the trader denies or disputes, stating that I have certain allegations whereby whatever I have laid down is perfectly right, and he denies or disputes and says whatever has been stated by the consumer is wrong, then a dispute or a conflict between the trader and the consumer arises, which gives rise to a consumer dispute under Section 21E of the Consumer Protection Act. Who can be a complainant? That is, who is the man who lodges the complaint? It could be a consumer, any voluntary consumer association, the central government or the state government. One or more consumers, wherein if there are one or more consumers having the same area of grievance, it could be a telephone line, it could be a gas connection in a particular area. We call this as public interest litigation, or PIL in short, so that instead of one man lodging a complaint, if I have a group of people, it tantamounts to having a better bargaining strength, which leads to the group of people lodging a complaint before the consumer forums as a PIL, or public interest litigation. In case of death of a consumer, supposing the original consumer dies as proceedings are going on before the redressal forum, does the matter die with it? No. It can be carried forward by his legal heirs, which means his spouse or children can carry it forward. Any voluntary consumer association, whether registered under the Companies Act or under any law, the central government or state government who makes a complaint, well, as far as the Consumer Protection Act is concerned, today we need not have advocates. There are authorized agents who are not advocates who may file complaints and represent persons before the consumer forum. We come down to a very important area as regards what are the various grounds for the complaint. The grounds for the complaint are obviously the five areas. An unfair trade practice or a restrictive trade practice. Unfair. Anything which is a deceptive practice carried on by the trader with regard to the sale, use or supply of goods as well as services is called unfair trade practice. Restrictive trade practice. It is a practice which is meant to manipulate the price, where there is an inordinate delay which is deliberately done by the trader, or the trader tells the consumer, you will have to make a purchase as a condition precedent before you take my goods. If you want to buy an AC from me, such as an LG or a Samsung, you better buy an air cooler. Now this is called as a restrictive practice. Defects. Any fault, shortcoming or inadequacy as far as goods are concerned, the terminology is defect. If there is a fault, shortcoming or any kind of an inadequacy with regard to services, banks, financial institutions, insurance, transport, we call the terminology as deficiency in services. Price. A price in excess of what is fixed by or under any law for the time being in force, that is, which is displayed on the package as MRP, you're not supposed to be charging one in excess, or displayed in any package containing such goods. And finally, Mr. Trader, you shall not bring into the market goods or services which are hazardous, dangerous to life, which could be in the form of drugs, which could be in the form of any pharmaceutical items, which could be endangering life and safety without such display or caution. What is an unfair trade practice or a restrictive trade practice? Making false statements, selling second-hand goods as new goods, saying that the seller has sponsorship, any kind of false statement or misleading statements as regards competitors, or giving a false representation as regards the quality, quantity, facts, etc. A publication. It means any misleading statements as regards the bargain price trying to attract investors. Obviously, here could be the builder body trying to endure or trying to induce the customer into purchasing a flat. It could be a company by way of a prospectus trying to lure the prospective shareholder to invest in the company, or certain tactics of this kind. The trader has given any kind of assurance as regards gifts or prizes without an intention of promoting it or without an intention of providing it, and therefore not providing whatever as offered. Withholding any schemes which have been given by competitors where they have assured certain gifts, certain free items, and the final results are not shared will also be an unfair trade practice. Sale or supply of goods, not complying with standards relating to performance, composition, contents, design, constructions, finishing or packaging which are necessary as per any standards laid down by the ISI or EGMARC, so as to prevent or reduce the risk of injury to the person using the goods. Hoarding of goods. Any kind of accumulation by the trader so as to inflate or increase the price of the goods, bringing about fluctuations, is called hoarding. Spurious. Any kind of fake, false goods, that is goods which are not genuine, are sought to be sold by the seller, is a kind of an unfair trade practice which is adopted by either the trader or service provider. Well, friends, we wind up this area wherein we have now looked into who is a consumer. To put this in brief, a person who buys goods, a person who hires services, any person who is a user of goods with the approval of the buyer, and any person who is a beneficiary of services with the approval of the original person who has bought this for consideration is a consumer. But any purchase for resale or commercial purpose will not come in our definition. A defect is with regard to any fault, shortcoming or inadequacy pertaining to items or goods, whereas the terminology deficiency is a fault or inadequacy as regards any services which are rendered and which are required to be of a particular standard which has been claimed by the service provider, and if it is not given, is deemed to be a deficiency in service. Thank you very much.